2 Peter chapter 1 in your Schofield Bible, page 1317, page 1317. We'll be reading the first 8 verses. These 8 verses we'll read responsively, taking note of verse 5, the text verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Reading the verses responsively. May we stand, please, as is our custom to do. We stand for the reading of the Word of God. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful book we have. Thank you for the Bible, for your word. Bless in the preaching of it, and then in the hearing of it. And may we be careful to hear as well as you've prepared the preacher to preach. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think the answer is, regardless of what in what area you're making your pursuit for this end, everybody in this room wants to have a fruitful life. We may disagree as to where that fruitful life is found, but there's one thing for sure. Everybody wants to have it. And nobody in this room wants to fall. Whatever kind of fall we may be talking about, a fall from the will of God, a fall from success, a fall from decency. Nobody in this room wants to fall. Now, the Bible tells us how our lives can be fruitful and how we can keep from falling. I want you to take your Bibles and open them back to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would please. And I want to read those verses, a few of those verses Brother Colston read with us a while ago, and a few others in the same chapter. I want you to start with me in verse 8, if you would please, and I want your attention now in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That says there's some things here. If these things be in you, you'll not be barren, and you'll be fruitful. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Whatever these things are, whatever they are, if you have them, you're not barren, and you're fruitful. But if you don't have them, you're blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgotten the purging of your sins. Now verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, there are some things listed here, and if you do these things, you won't ever fall. I mean, it's guaranteed. Didn't say you may not fall. Didn't say it's a pretty good chance you won't fall. It said if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, I want to know what these things are. If I can do something that'll guarantee my not being barren and guarantee my fruitfulness and success and guarantee that I will not be blind and guarantee that I shall never fall. I want to know what these things are. Well, look back, if you would, please, and we'll see those things in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, he said, now, whatever you do, do this. The word diligence means do it well and do it quickly. So by all means, do this in a hurry and do it well. Here they are. Add to your faith. That's it. That's number one. First thing you need, if you're not going to waste your life, is faith. You start there. Faith in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. Start there. You haven't started there. Nobody can be successful in life if he's not saved. You start with faith. Now, what does it say? Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, look at it again. Look at me again. God says here, you'll never fall. Never will. Now, not talking about falling from grace here. Talking about falling from the will of God. Falling from usefulness. Falling from decency. Falling from God's purpose in your life. Now, if you do these things, what? First, faith. Second, virtue. Third, knowledge. Fourth, temperance. Fifth, patience. Sixth, godliness. Seventh, brotherly kindness. And then, brotherly charity. Now, listen carefully. These things here are not only to be done, but they're to be done in the order that they're given. God says, add to. What does it mean? You don't start off, listen now, young people, listen. You don't start off with kindness. You start off with faith. Now, the liberal says, start off with kindness. And the Bible says, start off with faith. Bible said, first, you have faith. Then what do? You add virtue. This old greasy kind of an oily, gooey love that the liberal gives without any decency and morals and standards and virtue, it's not Bible love, Bible decency. It's not Bible love. What do you start with? Get yourself born again. That's where you start. Then what? Get clean. Then what? Now, by the way, one on top of the other. First, faith. Then, virtue. Notice what else now. Then, knowledge. Then, temperance. Then, patience. Then, godliness. Now, it doesn't say get these in any order. It says get them in this order. Now, I want you to notice the last three. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now, these are the only ones that are seen. The others are unseen. Virtue is unseen. Faith is unseen. Temperance is unseen. What is God saying? God is saying, get down there beneath the soil where nobody can see it. And you build the foundation of your character. And you get that faith and put it down as a foundation. Then you put on top of that faith virtue. Then you put on top of that virtue knowledge. On top of that temperance. And you become what you ought to be. And God said, finally, you'll get kindness and love. And be built not on a shallow and fallow hypocrisy, but built on something that will hold up. I want to talk to you for a while this morning, and that's not the sermon. That's just the comments about the Scripture. But I want to talk to you for a while this morning about it's the good that's so bad. It's the good that's so bad. Our Heavenly Father, bless our teaching this morning and our preaching therefrom with thy power, and may I have the attention, please, dear God, of all the people. And I promise you I'll give you my attention. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day I was talking about a young man that I used to pastor years ago. And somebody said to me, that young man, he's not young anymore. He's a middle-aged man. But they knew him when he was young. And they said, why didn't he get more done for God? And why didn't he really become a tremendous success? Why, if anybody ever had it all, he had it. But he just never did seem to, nothing, never, jail for him. And what? One lady said to me, she said, my life is falling apart. Now, she said, preacher, I read my Bible, and I pray, and I go soul winning. But my life is falling apart. Well, I've had people even list these things right here. Preacher, nothing,
succeeding for me. I am kind, and I have love, and I have virtue, and I have faith, and I have temperance. I've got these things. Now, preacher, why is it that my life is not what it ought to be when I look, it's easy for us to know why some reprobate wrecks his life. It's easy to know why some young girl's life is wrecked because she gets pregnant before she's married. It's easy to know why some fella, his life is wrecked because he takes dope, becomes a vegetable. But I'm not talking this morning about the people like that. I'm talking about people that have every one of these virtues and these personality traits listed in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. I'm talking about folks that are pure and clean and honest and temperate and loving and kind, and they're saved and they're in the will of God. And did all things fall, all of these things fall apart? Why? What is it? Now follow me carefully, I'll tell you why. You build a house. A house has a foundation. A house has some walls. A floor. I'm not doing everything, but it's got a foundation, it's got a floor, it has walls, has a roof. Let's just take those four things, right? To have a good house, you've got to have a roof, right? You got to have floors, right? You got to have a foundation, right? You got to have some walls, right? All right. So you get all four of these things, roof, foundation, walls, and floor, and you got a good house. Is that right? No, it's not right. All four of these things, only good house. You got to have them in the right order. Try putting your floor down under the foundation. Or build your walls, then pour the foundation on top of the wall. Or put your roof in first. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not only necessary that God's people, in order to succeed, have the proper ingredients for life, but you've got to have the proper ingredients in God's proper order. You don't get love and then virtue. You get virtue and then love. You don't get temperance and then kindness. Kindness and temperance. You get temperance and then kindness. God says, take faith and let that be first. And then he said, on top of that faith, you put virtue. On top of that virtue, you put wisdom or knowledge. On top of that, you put self-control or temperance. And then he said, godliness and brotherly kindness and Christian love. Now, the truth is, there are many things in the building of a house. And all the things not only must be there, but they must be in proper order, or each must have its own proper priority. Now, there are many things necessary in the building of a life. But not only are these things necessary, but they must be in proper order, and we must have proper priorities. You can have, success is like that. A church should pray. A church should go soul winning. A church should read the Bible. A church should preach the gospel. A church should exhort. A church should give. A church should feed the hungry. A church should clothe the naked. A church should do all these things. But all these things do not necessarily guarantee a successful church. You've got to have them in the right priority. I know churches all over this nation who do everything that's right to build a church, but they spend too much time on prophecy. And the church is not going. Now, they have all the fame. Prophecy is first. That's why for 37 years of pastoring churches from 19 members to thousands and tens of thousands in this great church now, brother, every church I've pastored, you just check it anytime, anywhere. You come any Sunday, or you've been in any of my churches any Sunday for 37 years, I'll guarantee you one thing. The thing that's first and foremost in the churches I've pastored is the winning of souls to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's primary. That's foundational. That's proper priority. Soul winning. Getting folks out of hell. Now, Jesus came to heal the sick, but the main reason he came was to save the lost. He came to raise the dead, but the main reason he came was to save the lost. He came to bless the children, but the main reason he came was to save the lost. And for these years, I've tried to place not only the proper ingredients, But you've got to have them in the right place. And I'm talking to hundreds and thousands of people in this room this morning who are good people. And you do everything you're supposed to do. And you don't do what you're not supposed to do. But you're not succeeding. Why? Because your life is mixed up on the priorities of the good things. For example, take the matter of tithing. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! You tithe of anise, cumin, and mint." And he said, "These things ought ye to have done, but not to have omitted the weightier matters of the law, like justice and mercy." Now, is God saying there don't tithe? No, he's not saying don't tithe. He's saying you ought to tithe, but more important than tithing is justice. And more important than tithing is mercy. He's saying you ought to tithe, but you ought to place. That's one reason why in all these years I've never had a big 6-week or 2-month stewardship drive and will not have one. Not against it. If fellow wants to have it, it's up to him. I don't have it. Why? I'm not going to take 6 weeks or 2 months and put something that's not foundational in the foundation. I'm not going to put something that ought to be 10th first. Why? Because I'm not going to take our people off the field for soul winning and send them on the field for money raising. You won't find a preacher in America believes in tithing more than I do. And I wouldn't let you borrow a dime of mine and trust you with my signature on your note if you didn't tithe. I don't trust you. I think you're crooked. You're dishonest. If you won't give God that which is his, you won't give somebody else that which is theirs either. I think tithing is scriptural, right, and biblical, but there's something more important than tithing. When you put tithing above weightier matters, then you've got good things out of order. For example, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you find you have your brother hath ought against you, leave thy gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to thy brother and then come and bring thy gift to the altar. What's he saying? Is he saying don't bring your gift to the altar? He's not saying that at all. He's saying there's something more important than that, and that's getting right with your brother. He's saying if you've got something in your heart against somebody, or there's something somebody's got something against you, and there's a division, and there's bitterness, and there's hatred, he said it is more important that you get it out than you bring your gift to the altar. Now, it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of what should come first. Now, God is not saying that the second should not come. He's saying put the second where it ought to be. Remember? The tithe is called the first fruits. The first fruits. God doesn't want your second tenth. God wants your first tenth. The first tenth is his. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, there are other things to seek. You're supposed to make a living. You're supposed to work. You're supposed to eat. You're supposed to sleep. You're supposed to buy clothes. You're supposed to shop. But he said above all of that, first. Tops on your priority list. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now listen carefully. If anybody in the world understands what I'm talking about, it's me. I've got more things to do than I could ever do. I've got more demands on my time than you ever understand in this world. I've got more people want me and more people. For example, the police want me and my creditors want me. And I've got more folks demanding my time. It'd take 10 people just like me to do everything that folks are asking me to do. I can't do it. What did I do? I've got to sit down and I've got to say, I'll choose that which is most important and put my priorities not only present, but in the proper order. Folks, you're not going to succeed unless you get your priorities right. I must choose what I do because I have more to do than I can do. I must choose what order the things that I do should be in, and I must choose how much time each of those things should get. Listen to me. You don't succeed accidentally, and you don't fail on purpose. There's no recipe to failure. You just don't do the ingredients to success, and you fail. But nobody ever stumbles upward. You ever say, boy, I was walking down the street today and I fell up. No, you fell down. You didn't fall up. Why? Because, listen. Somebody said one time, Brother Hines, what happened in that church to make you so lucky?
I wanted some of their teeth in my fist. Nobody is lucky in success. Now, you might be lucky in inheriting some money. You might be lucky in the fact that your dad is rich and you take over the business. But I want you to know that there's not a business ever grows from nothing to success. Accidentally, you fail accidentally, and you fail without preparation, but nobody ever succeeds unless he has two things. He's got to have, first, the proper ingredients, and second, he's got to have those ingredients in right order according to their importance and according to their priorities. And that's why I'm talking to folks today who are failing, because you don't have these ingredients, but I'm talking to folks also who are failing who have these ingredients, but you are not putting them in the right order. Let me say something, Mr. Kevin. Satan cannot create. Satan cannot create. So what does he do? He changes the order of good. Satan cannot create, so what does he do? He corrupts good. Did you know what sin is? Sin is the corruption of something that God made in perfection. God made the Lord's Supper. Man has taken it and corrupted it and made it a Eucharist or a sacrament. God never intended for the Lord's Supper to be taken as a sacrament. It's only a memorial feast. That's all it is. God made in perfection baptism as a public declaration of a person's faith in Christ. Man's taken, or the devil's taken it and corrupted it and said, now you got to go pray and get baptized or you don't go to heaven at all. I'm saying sin is the devil's corruption of something that God made in perfection. It is either good in the wrong order, or good in the wrong place, or good for the wrong purpose. That's what sin is. The devil cannot create. I said you don't have to plan to fail. Just let good things fall where they will and do it with no plan and you will fail. Illustration. Here's a wife. God made her to be a wife. What happens? She gets wrapped up in the children. Now, nothing wrong with being wrapped up in the children. But that's first place. That's wrong order. Here's a church. Church is supposed to teach, right? But here's a church. Teaches Sunday morning. No invitation. Teaches Sunday night. No invitation. Teach, 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 teach. So-called deeper life kind of situation. Now they're taking a good thing that God told us to do and placing it in its wrong place and taking it out of order according to God's divine purpose, and the church dies. Why? Because she took something good to excess and placed it in a position where God never intended for it to be. Now you listen to me. I'm not one of these little preachers that gets up. I turned the TV on in our room the other day to watch the news, and after the news over, this guy came on from Dallas, Texas. And he said, if you'll write and get my... He's a preacher. If you'll write... He's a charismatic preacher. All of them are. He said, you write and get my tapes. He said, I'll guarantee you, I'll tell you how you can be financially prosperous. That's the biggest bunch of tomfoolery I ever heard of in my life. I'm not one of those little... I'm not a peel or a shuler or a possibility thinker or a power of positive thinking. I'm not that. I'm an old-fashioned hell-raising gospel Bible preacher. That's what I am. But I want to say this. I want to say that there's a way you can be successful, and it's not positive thinking. You may have to think negative about something. In fact, think negative about the devil. Think negative about Hollywood, and think negative about liquor, and think negative about dope. And I'm saying it's not positive thinking or it's not positive thinking, but I'll tell you something. If you succeed as a child of God, you'll do it on purpose. When you take these things that God has given us, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about virtue. I'm talking about temperance. I'm talking about decency. I'm talking about integrity. And then I'm talking about kindness. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about godliness. You take these things and you say, these I've got to have. But then you say, not only do I have to have them, I must put them in God's order. Tell you what you do. Take all the things to bake a pie or a cake. Tell you what you do. Cook it before everything's in there. Just, you see, what do you do? You add this. Add this. Try putting salt in the bottom of the pan. Put it in first. Sprinkle some salt on the bottom of the pan. First.
Well, you say, that's foolish. Salt is always, a pinch of salt is always put in while you stir. All right, but put it in the bottom of the pan and under the crust of the pie. You can have every ingredient that is necessary for making a pie, and you can fail and have an awful pie unless you get the order. You can have everything that's necessary for the building of a house, and you can have a house that'll crumble unless you get the proper order. Let me tell you something. The churches of Jesus Christ in this nation need to stop for a while preaching on love and go back and preach on character for a while, and decency and morality and principle and virtue. And then after you've got the house built, then add the love. That's God's order. God knows if you put love in first, you'll love snakes and cancer and tuberculosis. You don't do that. You put the virtue in so you'll know what to love. Illustration. The Bible said that he went apart to rest a while. I get a little tired here. Oh, you got to take care of your body. You got to rest. What does that mean for them? Golf on Monday morning, bowling Monday afternoon, picnic Tuesday morning, sleeping all Tuesday afternoon. Got to have your rest. That's not the top priority. Rest is important. Somebody said, Dr. Bill Rice one time. Dr. Rice, he said, you just eat all the time. He said, all you do is eat? Oh, he said, I do other things. He said, I sleep some too. Now, rest is important, but not as a major thing. I know people whose religion is their health food. Now, I believe in eating right, but it's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven is to join the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Don't you take that away from here until I said that. Take the matter of fighting communism. I know preachers who have everything going. And they're good men. And many of them are my good friends. Everything going. But they've taken, we're supposed to fight communism, but it's not the foundation. The foundation is the Word of God and soul winning. And so what happens? Church crumbles. Why? All the ingredients in the wrong order. I told the father-son soul-winning group last night something that illustrates what I mean. One day I had a date with one of the girls. I do not recall which one it was. I do know I narrowed it down to Becky, Linda, and Cindy. But one of the girls, I had a date with them. Our church at that time was not the largest church in the country, probably not even the top 10. And one of my heroes was Dr. Beecham Vick, G.B. Vick, pastor of the great Temple Baptist Church, Detroit, at that time, had the largest church in the world. And I was a young preacher, and he was about probably getting close to 70, and I respected him like I respected no more than five other men in the whole world. And one day, to my shock and surprise, Dr. Vick drove up out in front of the church, came to my office, and told my secretary he wanted to see me. And I walked to the door, and there was G.B. Vick. I couldn't believe it. He said, Brother Hiles, I've come from Detroit. I need to talk to you. And I said, Dr. Vick, I'm so glad to see you, but I said, I can't see you for a couple of hours. He said, why? And I said, well, I've got an appointment, an engagement. He said, it must be real important. I said, it is. He said, is it more important than seeing me? And I said, I think so. I said, you're my hero. But I'm sorry if you can wait 2 hours. I can see you. Well, he was upset with me. And he went on. And I went to my date with my daughter. What are you talking about? Priorities? Priorities. Just so happened to me, my daughter growing up and becoming the right kind of person was more important to me than talking to my hero. Several months passed. I bumped into Dr. Vick and he said, Dr. Hiles, I want to talk to you. I scared to death. Boy, I'm going to be kicked out of the College of Cardinals and my chances for ever being the Pope are gone after this. He said, I want to talk to you. I said, what is it? He said, you remember the other day I came from Detroit to see you and you wouldn't see me? I said, I didn't say I wouldn't see you. I said it'd be 2 hours before I could. He said, I know, but I didn't have 2 hours to wait. Remember? You said, had another appointment? I said, yes, I do. He said, I found out what that was. Oh, brother. And then a tear came in his eye. And he put his hand out and he said, Brother Hiles, you made the right decision. You did the right thing. Whew. And I got to stay in the College of Cardinals. And I did. You say, are you saying that having an appointment with your daughter, the most important thing in all the world? I didn't say that. There are more important things in the world than that. But one of them is not seeing a preacher to fellowship for a while. Now listen to me. You are going to have to sit down and look at your life. Hey, I've said this so often. The more important a thing is, the less it clamors for your attention. The Bible never says, read me! You never spend any time with me! Why, you read all those other books and I'll tell you, Bible never says that. The more important a thing is, the less it clamors for your time. And I'll go a step further. The more important a person is, the less he'll clamor for your time too. And that means that if you have these priorities in proper order, you're not going to just do that which commands your time. I'll say this too. The more attractive a thing is, the more it clamors for your time. But the more attractive a thing is outwardly, the less attractive it is inwardly. And I'm talking to folks this morning in this room who your lives are falling apart. And you're not bad people. You're good people. You don't do the things you shouldn't do. And you do everything that you should do. But you don't do them in God's divine order. And you're not going to succeed until you do two things. Get these things and do them. And then get them in the right order of importance and priorities. I've said this. Give this illustration. A few weeks ago, and I won't go through the whole thing, but it's perfect. Remember that couple I told you about that came from a little country church in East Texas to visit First Baptist Church, Hammond? We had 19 members in that little church. Had one fellow could lead the singing. One lady could play the piano, and she could play one song. That's Old Rugged Cross. We had 19 members. My salary was $7.50 a week. We were so far out in the country that Mammy Yoakum and the Beverly Hillbillies wouldn't even associate with us. Been years. Good night. It's been 37 years since I was at that little church. And a couple came to visit us a few months ago from that little church, and they could not believe. I mean, boy, you can imagine. 19 people. Good night. We got more in a PA room than that. And that, I've been ashamed of them if I didn't love them. They were just exactly what all you Yankees think all Southerners are. Brother Jack, how you doing? We just got here. How y'all? They came and they visited. Their mouths didn't shut all the time they were here. You know why they came? One reason they came to see if old Jack had changed. And just before they were going to leave, they came to the office and I went out in the hallway and just a couple of sweet little hillbillies. I mean, when I say hillbilly, I mean hillbillies. I mean, we in Texas call them hillbillies. And they said, Brother Jack, just got one thing to say. He said, same old stuff, just more of it. What is he saying? He's saying, you still got your priorities where they were 37 years ago. In right order. Right order. Teach the Bible verse by verse on Wednesday night and have for 25 years. And raise the devil on Sunday night and preach the devil out of you on Sunday morning. Why? That's the order! Get them saved! Then get them taught! You don't get them taught, then get them saved. You don't baptize them in order to get them saved. You get them saved, then baptize them. God's divine order. My life is falling apart. Your house will fall apart if you build it like you build your life. The reason you got your house built right, you had a blueprint, and you already knew what you're going to do first and second and third, but you have no blueprint for your life. You just do whatever comes up. The dog gets the manes tomorrow morning. You stop what you're going to do. Take the dog to the vet. Take the dog to the meat grinder and get back to work. I'm not against dogs. I like dogs. But a dog shouldn't change your schedule for the day. I'm saying that some little something comes up. I want your time. Let me have you. I guarantee you, when it cries to your attention, it's not the big thing. Because the big things are scheduled and done on purpose by self-discipline. And brother, if you wait till you have time to read that book, you won't read that book. And if you wait to have time to pray, you won't pray. And if you wait to have time to go soul winning, you won't do it. And if you wait to have time to train your kids, you won't have time either. Any of your kids ever come up and say, Daddy, I want to study the Bible? No, they didn't. But there's a fella outside ringing a bell. It's summertime. Daddy, I want to finish it. Ice cream. Daddy, would you teach me about how to shake hands? And Daddy, would you teach me character? Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, teach me how to treat, how to stand when a woman comes in the room. Never do it. Daddy, I want some. Daddy, take me to the zoo. What am I trying to say? I'm saying, if you train your kids, it'll be because you schedule it. If you discipline your life and on purpose, not only choose what it consists, but you set down, it's order. I mean, it's order. Listen to me. Listen to me. Young folks, you've laughed enough for one service. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. And some young folks, your life's going to crumble one day. By the way, one great priority ought to be never to miss church and hear every word that's said while you're there. In God's name, what you do, you come to my office, and I'm glad you do, but you could save me thousands of hours a year if you'd listen to me while I preach. You don't do this, you come to my office, but the house, my life's crumbling, what can I do? The first thing you can do is listen to me preach, and I'll tell you how to keep it from crumbling. Priorities. You take your life and you decide what's the most important thing in your life, then number two, then number three, then number four, then number five, then number six, and put them in order. And then you give them the time. You take number one, say, I'll do this at this hour. It's the most important thing in my life, and I'll guarantee you, if you don't schedule number one will not get done. Illustration, I'm through. You know, the devil never comes to anybody and says, don't get saved. Most important priority in life is to get saved. That's number one. Tops.
Brother Hines, I got to make a living.
No, you don't. You got to die and face God. That's all you got to do. Most important thing in life is to be sure that you're going to heaven when you die. You're not going to go to hell. You're saved. That's the most important thing in life. Now, but what you do? The devil doesn't say to you, don't do it. He says, you don't have time now. He'll say to you, it's important. It's big. It's big. Do it. But not now. You don't have time for it now. And hell is full of people today who plan to do it. Who plan to do it. But it was not a big enough. Going to the beauty shop was more higher prior to this than going to heaven. Going to the bowling league, playing ping pong. None of those is wrong. I wish some of you folks, fellows that play ping pong, more you guys that go bowling, more your ladies that go to the beauty shop. With emphasis on the latter. But getting your hair done is more important to you than getting your soul saved. And there's nothing that quite shows what causes failure as much as our acceptance that someday we'll do it. But why don't we do it? Because lesser things come into our lives and fight for our time and for preeminence and prominence
and we give it to them and put it off and put it off and die and burn in hell forever.
You see. Or find the...
Why? Wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. I love that illustration about when I was preaching in New York City, Brooklyn. Neighborhood church. A man who ran the store in the neighborhood. Everybody traded there. He was the most important person in the neighborhood because everybody in the church just about traded his store. Very prosperous store. He'd never come to church, but he heard the pastor of the largest congregation in America was preaching there, and he just wanted to go see the guy. And of course, once you've seen me, you're so glad you came. But anyway, he wanted to see me. And he came and sat way back on the back row against the wall just to see me. And I preached that night my sermon on duty. And I closed my sermon and said, you know why you ought to get saved? It's your duty to get saved. That's why. It's your duty. God made the sun, the moon, the stars. God gives you what you eat. He gives you what you drink. He gives you your air you breathe, the sunshine. He gives you all you have. Now I said, you ought to give him your heart and trust him at your duty. And the shock of everybody in that house. Invitation time came. Down came the store owner, most respected man in the neighborhood. Pulled up his trousers like that. He looked at me and he said, Reverend, he said, that's the first sermon I ever heard on getting saved. It made sense to me. He said, I'm an honorable man. I expect folks that owe me money to pay their bills. And he said, if I sat back there right now and I realized I was one of them. He said, it's a decent thing to get saved. He said, let's get about it. That's what you call putting the top priority on the top shelf. It's the most important thing. And life is that way. The last 40 minutes could have been the most important 40 minutes in your life if you'll do two things because of this hour. If you'll get the things that are right to do and write them down and list these things right here and put them in your life, and then if you'll take them in God's divine order. I could do everything I'm doing now. Now, hear me carefully. I could put the Hammond Baptist schools where they shouldn't be and destroy this whole work. I could take all our soul winners off the field and send everybody out the same number of hours you're going soul winning. I could take you off the field and send you out to try to raise money to pay off our debt, and God knows that wouldn't be bad. But I could destroy this church in 2 months doing something good. It's the good that's bad. The perversion of the good. Misappropriation of the good. Doing good at the wrong place, wrong time. Or doing that which is good in the wrong order. Father, I sure hope you'll change somebody today.